So with the shredding unit, how much does that end up costing?
It's going to cost about $500,000 to set it up. And we'll recover that cost in about a year and a half.
Okay. And is this already on order?
Nope, it's not on order. It's in the CMMP for 2012.
Okay. Will this make the landfill cells last longer?
It will make them last longer. And we haven't really calculated out how much room we will be saving. We do have a new bagging unit coming now for the our bagging machine. And it actually compresses the garbage 20% tighter, puts it inside of a bag. And these bags then will go into the cell. And we're going to have 20% less leachate, and we're going to have 20% more room. So that's how much room we'll be saving.
What are the bags made out of, and does that prevent decomposition?
No. I don't really know what the material is, but they're supposed to decompose just like the last ones we were using, which is we were baling them up with baling wire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Again, I'd like to invite callers to call in at 581-2161. As long as we're talking about the landfill, how many years do we have left on the landfill?
Approximately 35 years we leave left on it right now. We just got done building cell 4 here, leave last year in January, February. We put it into service, and it's good until approximately the end of 2013. So right now we have plans on final design for cell 2-1, which will be actually two cells, and along with it we'll be installing a leachate tank and system to where we can control the leachate better.
Okay. I remember a while ago, too, you mentioned potentially doing a waste incinerator, so waste to energy. And New York Times just put out a great article talking about how that's very popular in Europe to turn waste into electricity. With any of the variety of units available, have you looked further into if any of those would be feasible here in this community?
Yeah, we're still keeping an eye on it. The problem with it was there's only two of them working in Europe, and we didn't want to be the – and they were starting to work on one in, I believe, in New Jersey, and but they only ran it part-time. So we didn't want to be the guinea pig, if you would, on it. The units cost anywhere from $25 to $30 million. And what they actually do is the flame inside this, if you picture a barrel with inside of another barrel with a flame in between them, and you have approximately 2,000 degrees in the center of this, and when you put the garbage in there, it cracks back to its original elements. So what you got coming out the bottom is ash and if you get metal parts or whatever that is. But we decided to put it on the side burner right now, and we're keeping an eye on it.
So. Are there other versions of that, or is that the main model now?
Well, you have your typical incinerator. There's people that are doing plasma incineration, which is typically the same degrees of flame. I haven't heard it moving forward as much as the cracker unit right now. So once it gets developed and gets proven here in the United States, something else you got to look at, too, is that we don't want to be the first to do the environmental part of it either, because that's whole new ground. So we'll wait until it's developed here.
All right. So on the topic of renewable energy sources or just different alternative energy sources, Dick, you are considered one of the wind experts in our community.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you, Ann, for the lead-in. Yes, there is sufficient wind energy out here to harness it and do it on a utility-grade basis. What it means that in a given year, that 31% of the hours you will be able to produce wind, and anything above 20 hours is considered utility-grade wind. But I will point out, if you do not control and shut down your equipment in times of extreme storms that we have out here, you're going to wind up getting the units pretty well destroyed, and you cannot operate or try to operate those wind generators, the turbines, the big ones, when there is wind shear of the magnitude that we had here, like December 6th, the 125-plus winds. But it doesn't mean that you can't operate wind out here, but you must turn around and have some ability to control it and to shut the unit down in storm and storms of that nature. It just will not operate.
So all of that said, if an individual is thinking, all right, I want to be more green, I want to install my residential wind turbine, what would you suggest? How should they start?
Well, I would, for any homeowner, first of all, I'd encourage them right off the bat to go to their public utilities and to get the handout from Dan and talk about the safety issues involved. That's foremost, really.
Wait,
and
what's the handout, Dan?
We have a little handout that we give out to people that want to connect to our grid. If you're not going to connect to the grid, there's no reason to come and talk to me. Just make sure you have a good electrical engineer, whoever is supplying your equipment. But if you're hooking to the grid, we need safety equipment on there to make sure that it's going to be disconnected when there's power outages on our side of the grid to protect our linemen.
Okay. So that's step one. What's step two?
Well, step two, and then go to the utility and have a power sales contract, if you're connected to the grid, if you, in fact, connected to the grid, and then get a power sales contract, an agreement with the city, so that they can determine how much energy or how much money they're going to pay you for the energy that you produce. And it's about a 6 or 7 page contract. Each one will be different. But again, you must coordinate with the city. If you're going to just build it and use it yourself for some particular reason for an outbuilding, you would want to get a battery and an inverter and operate in that fashion. But do remember, I always said, in June, July, and August, you do not have sufficient wind on an economic basis to generate power out here during those 3 months. There's some, but very, very little. And that's what my study did find, that those 3 months, there's just no energy here.
Okay. That is good note.
And I also may add, if I may, is no matter what you're going to do, if you're going to hook it up to the grid or if you're going to build one just for your own use, go to the city clerk. Planning has rules on where you can put a windmill and how it can be constructed. So make sure you get that sheet from them also.
Correct.
Good to know. So as long as we're talking about ways to save energy, ways to save your own money, let's talk about some of the simple ways.
Well, one of the things that you can all do, and I really, really encourage it, is to take the incandescent bulbs, which really are like the horse and buggies. They're going fast, and you will probably in 2 to 5 years won't even see them on the shelf. Get rid of them. The compact fluorescents are really amazing. They have the same light or aluminum output, but they have a greatly reduced amount of usage. To me, energy savings is really our future opportunity to reduce our carbon footprint at home, within the community, and across our region and nation. And I cannot say enough about the good things that Dan has got information out there on the website now. You want to talk a little bit about that, Dan?
Yeah, on the city website under the Department of Public Utilities, you'll find energy saving tips. It's updated every month, give or take a few days. And has also University of Alaska tags, links that you can go to, gives more information.
All right. Great service. I would like to thank both of you guys for joining us on today's edition of Speak Up on Alaska. Any last words of wisdom?
Again, I want to give everyone that number. If they're interested in looking at replacing their appliances, there are monies available from the federal government as of today to replace your freezer, refrigerator, and dishwasher. Call the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and get the application. It's 1-877-257-3228. That's Alaska Housing Finance Corporation for purchasing Energy Star equipment. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you. Mr. Winters?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for having us, Ann. This is a great opportunity for all of us, and hope everybody out there starts saving electricity.
All right. Thank you to everyone who listened.